either the lead. You have an amateur. Mr. Bennett is currently at 8-under, tied, or he's in third all by himself. John Rahm is only halfway through his round. He's 2-under for the day. He's at 9-under. And Brooks Koepka is in the clubhouse at 12-under. He's got to be pretty comfortable being in the clubhouse with that. So you have, I'm assuming you probably have 10, 11 groups still out on the course. So 30 players, 33 players still out on the course that'll have to come back tomorrow morning. So it will take some time for these gentlemen to find out if they made the cut or not. Two of the main stories, to be really honest, is Phil Mickelson and Brooks Koepka. Phil Mickelson is, I want to say that he's at 4-under, but I just clicked on here to see. And today, right now, it's raining and it's 56 degrees and wind gusts are up to 18 to 20 miles per hour. Phil Mickelson shot a 3-under today, so he's at 4-under. He is tied for 10th. I probably don't think there was a lot of people that thought he was going to do that well. And it was a different kind of Phil Mickelson that came into the Masters. He was very quiet, didn't do a lot of interviews, just kind of sat back, watched at the Champions Dinner. I think he's got some stuff to prove. And one of the things that he, Dustin Johnson, Patrick Reed, Bryson DeChambeau, Koepka, all these guys, you're not going to hear them say that they're sorry that they went to the LIV Tour. The LIV Tour is fitting what they wanted to do. What they are saying is that they're happy that they're able to play in a tournament that is an open invitation only. It's not generated from the PGA. That is one of the reasons why it's not as big a deal as the playing in the U.S. Open is kind of the same. It's a little more complicated. The PGA, the third of the major, they're not getting in that tournament. It's not going to happen. The British Open, they're able to play in the British Open as long as they meet the qualifications that have always been set forward. So it's going to be really interesting. I wanted to say that it was good for golf, and I'm not so sure that it hasn't been good for golf. I think the best thing for the part of the LIV Tour that I don't like so much is Greg Norman is just bitter. No matter if you made concessions to him or you changed things or things became more equitable between the two, nobody's ever going to do it because you can't get Greg Norman to get out of Greg Norman's way. I think with Dustin and Bryson, you know, Bryson always, you know, some you understand. Bryson and Patrick Reed are different. And some of the people in the PGA, specifically players in general, are put off by them a little bit. Some of those players are put off a little bit by Phil Mickelson, always quick to give his opinion. Until things started going south with him on some betting things, some gambling things, and then he kind of grew a little owly. I think him coming to the Masters and performing and not talking like normal probably is doing him the best amount of good. But there are great stories. Sam Bennett, the amateur, is a great story. Colin Morikawa after yesterday, I don't even know if Colin Morikawa knew that he was even, trying to think what the word is, but, you know, was on top of all social media that he was, then it's going to come to me when I don't need it to come to me. But I don't even think he had any idea any of that stuff was going on. Victor Hovland wasn't having a bad day. Jason Day was having a great day and then kind of blew up a little bit at the end. Jordan Spieth, 69-70. Today was definitely harder. Brooks was a couple of shots different today than he was yesterday. So that's typical of this golf course. And you know, when you come through and you look at some of the high scores that are out there, with some of the conditions, you know, you're always going to have, I mean, Sandy Lyle, Larry Mize, Jose Maria Olazabal, those guys are all pretty much retired players. If they're playing in the seniors, they could be. Their scores were pretty high. Some of them, you know, this is kind of their last time that they get to play that. I was surprised that Bubba Watson shot a plus seven, because Bubba Watson has been playing well on the LIV Tour, and he loves Augusta. Louis Oosthuizen is another one. He is a huge Augusta person. So is Brian Harman. All of them did not play well. I was surprised Cameron Champ didn't play well. I was surprised Sergio didn't play well. I was shocked that Rory McIlroy didn't play well. It just doesn't fit the narrative that where they were at and how they were playing. And it was interesting to me to see that the struggles that some of these guys had with knowing the golf course so well. I mean, that's the thing. The fact that you have an amateur that's in third place is the shocking part, because he doesn't have a history there. He doesn't understand the Masters, and that's what changes that. I wanted to talk just a little bit more to the NBA. The NBA is down to its last three games. They're down to their last two games. Most of these guys either have games Friday, Sunday. A couple have Friday, Saturday games. You have in the Eastern Conference, you are pretty well set. No one's getting in. The only thing you could have is you could have some maneuvering around number six and number seven, maybe. And then you may get the play-in game. There's not a lot separating number eight and number nine, but that's it. In the Western Conference, you are number five, number six, number seven, number eight. All are in play. There. One has the Clippers and the Warriors have 42 wins. The Lakers and the Pelicans have 41 wins. And, I mean, the Timberwolves could get to 42-40 and can make it interesting. So it's going to be an interesting last couple of nights. So I think that's good for the NBA. I think the NBA wants that. I think they want that ability to have their season go and still have some maneuverability in there. Another one of the things that are out there. So it's baseball season, right? And some of the feedback that I've gotten in this past week, especially when I was in Vegas, because I was trying to really be as active as I could on social media. And a lot of the talk when you talk about Major League Baseball is the haves and the have-nots. And who spends money and who doesn't? Who spends money wisely, who doesn't? And early on, once again, it's centered on team building, not necessarily payroll. Now, you have high payrolls. The New York Yankees are 4-2. The Los Angeles Angels are 4-2. The Atlanta Braves are 6-1. The Los Angeles Dodgers are 5-2, but you have some teams that have some big payrolls. And I know this is early, but when you look at the National League Central, you have Milwaukee, Pittsburgh, Cincinnati, and the two bottom teams are Chicago and St. Louis. So Chicago and St. Louis have big payrolls. Cincinnati, Pittsburgh, and Milwaukee, I don't know if you combine their payrolls, have the payroll of some of these teams. But It's interesting to see you have some big injuries out there as it stands right now as well. And they, surprising to me somewhat, the Boston Red Sox are 3-4. Not surprising to me, and this hurts my buddy T, his Kansas City Royals are 1-6. They're one of those squads, and they're not off by much, folks. Their point differential is only 10 out of 7 games. So they've been in a lot of games. The issue that you have with the Kansas City Royals right now is they're 1-6, and they've played every one of their 7 games have been played at home. The Cleveland Guardians have played all their games at home. No, they've played all of their games. They've played all their games away. That is crazy that you start your season out with items like that. I don't know how everybody thinks about baseball. I'm a baseball guy because of growing up. We've talked about this a few times on the show that I was a big college basketball fan. And the crazy thing about being a big college basketball fan back in 1979, 1980, 81, 82, 83, 84, I graduated in 84 from high school. There wasn't a lot of NBA basketball games on TV. By 82, 83, 84, cable was just kind of starting to come around. So you got Atlanta Braves on TBS. You got Atlanta Braves games. You might get Hawk games a few times. I find this, my kids find this appalling. NFL was not the most popular sport for me in growing up, 1980, 81, 82, 83, 84, even all the way up through college and before Jen and I got married in 89. I don't think the NFL was as big a deal as what you thought. You number one, you didn't get to see very many games. Number two, most of the teams that were winning on a consistent basis were the four same six teams. So if you weren't a Steeler fan, you weren't a Raiders fan, you weren't a Cowboy fan, you weren't a Redskin fan, now the Commanders, it wasn't a lot for you on TV. My children can't imagine. And, you know, with no gambling aspect to it, growing up, It was baseball was king. That I've explained on this show before that me and my best friend in high school, two of them, Brian and Scott, that's all we did was argue about baseball. Constantly arguing about baseball. The only other thing that we did together besides argue about baseball was listen to albums, which has been a lifelong must have in my life. Music was, I wasn't talented enough to do music, but man, did I like to listen to music. But so baseball has a way to go. Now they have fans. There are fans that watch. The other thing is, and the problem that the NBA and Major League Baseball, the National Hockey League have, unlike, and I'm going to name, so NFL, college football to a certain extent, just because college football fandom is bigger because it's in your heart because you're part of it. The National Football League, and I'm going to tell you, golf are accentuated in likability because of either and baseball, rotisserie baseball. That was huge back in the 80s and 90s leagues. Now fantasy football, having fantasy football makes the NFL, even the ability to bet on football is one part, but fantasy football even makes it even bigger because you bring in a huge audience with male, female audiences doing that. And you do that betting wise on golf as well. So crazy stuff that, you know, how these sports have now become so big, not only because of the product that's on the field, but it's the ability to gamble on them. You're listening to Steen on Sports. We're bringing sports your way every day right here on 1700 The Champ AM, 101.3 FM. Real sports talk for real sports fans. Plenty more to talk about. Two more segments. Be right back.
Here's a look at traffic on 101.3 and 1700, The Champ.
Maintenance provides quality, health-centric building maintenance and janitorial services throughout central Iowa and the Midwest. provide the best solutions for building, maintenance, and commercial janitorial services. Heritage is future-focused and driven by technology to find a healthier and more efficient way to serve their clients. They believe they should provide the first line of defense in proper health care, be industry leaders in implementing health-focused innovation and technology, and provide a peace of mind in protecting our future by being certified partners of science-proven microbial control to provide an advanced level of janitorial services to their client. Go to heritagebldg.com to check out more about the cleaning and the future of janitorial services. Thank you to Heritage Building Maintenance. So the big thing coming up in the next couple of weeks is the NFL draft. There's still a lot of unknown out there. Todd McShay's last, I just pulled this up just to, you know, to take a couple of minutes to go. Scott brought this up yesterday in the show in Happy Hour Sports with Steen on Scott. And he asked me if I was a general manager, who would I take? Would I take C.J. Stroud or would I take Bryce Young? And I stated that I think maybe to start C.J. Stroud, maybe C.J. Stroud is the safer pick. Bryce Young has an opportunity, a chance to become a Hall of Fame player. I think C.J. Stroud has a chance to be a really good NFL quarterback. Now, I don't know where that puts him. I don't know if that puts him at above Ryan Tannehill. But if you're asking me between these two guys, if my ceiling and my floor is Patrick Mahomes, Joe Burrow, Justin Herbert, Trevor Lawrence. Who am I missing? I know I'm missing some. Joe Burrow, Josh Allen. I know there's probably a couple more. If that's what I'm looking for, I don't know if C.J. Stroud can get to that point. It's an unknown. He has the ability to win football games. I've seen him do it. He has a ability to win football games. The way he, if this was C.J. Stroud and they got beat by 21 points in their bowl game against Georgia or in the championship, I would have, there wouldn't be any conversation. People saw what he did against Georgia, who has eight guys that are going to on that defense that are going to get drafted at some point in time in the first round over the next 2 years. What you see with Bryce Young is a whole nother level. He doesn't meet the measurables. And in a league, a copycat league, and a oh my gosh, I don't want to go outside the box league, unless you're a few teams. New England Patriots go outside the box. The Kansas City Chiefs go outside the box. There's probably a Pittsburgh Steelers go outside the box. They're looking for pieces that fit their football program, not pieces that are what all the scouts and everybody says they should be doing. Sean McVay may be a little bit like that. He has to have the right type of person, not just the right person. And I think there's probably others. C.J. Stroud in college was not as good as Bryce Young. So why people think just because of 3 inches and 20 pounds going to a league that's tougher, he's going to be better? I don't understand that completely. Now, when you move on, now see it says in here today, and I agree with some of the if you listen to some of the things in between the commercials in between or listening to CBS Sports or listening to ESPN or any of those things, you've heard today that there are, people are projecting the Indianapolis Colts need a quarterback. They have messed up good teams because they didn't have, when they had Peyton Manning, they had their next. They wasn't expecting him to retire. And it has put them in a deep, 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 deep hole. And today, because people love to make splashes, because if they get this right, you know, when they're projecting these, if they get these rights, then people are going to, when somebody looks and goes, well, whose mock draft am I going to look at? Well, I'm going to look at this guy because he got that right. He had the Indianapolis Colts with Lamar Jackson sitting out there. He had the Indianapolis Colts trading up and giving away some picks and moving up to number 3 from number 4 to get Anthony Richardson of the Florida Gators. I've looked at Anthony Richardson, and he is a specimen. He is big. He is strong. He is fast. He is all those things except for the one thing that he is not. And right now, he is not an NFL quarterback, and barely, if he'd have stayed again, he wouldn't even be the best quarterback in college football next year unless he took a huge leap. Now, do you have to pay him $30 million a year? No, but his contract isn't much lower than that. So you're passing on giving up 2 first-round picks, and you're going to have to offer Lamar Jackson something that the Baltimore Ravens will not match. And I don't think that number's as big as what everybody else says, because I think the Baltimore Ravens are ready to move on because they know that their relationship with Lamar Jackson is over. And if he has to come back, 2 things are going to happen. He's not going to be the same. He can't be because of his attitude. Or 2, he's going to tell him to go pound sand, and he'll take the money that he's already made that he's never going to spend, and he's going to wait for a couple of years. Now, if you're the Baltimore Ravens, that's the worst of everything. But you're telling me you're Indianapolis Colts, and you're not willing to give up 2 first-round draft picks, even this year's first-round draft pick, to get Lamar Jackson to come to your town and solidify your quarterback position that hasn't been solidified since Andrew Luck left 10 years too early. I don't understand that. Anthony Richardson is not ready to play quarterback in the NFL. It's impossible to do with his skill set and what he's been through in college. It's not there yet. Now, if the Indianapolis Colts take an offensive lineman trying to protect whatever they have at quarterback and then move back into the first round and pick up Anthony Richardson lower or pick up a defensive player to do something with their team, I'm okay with that, but not at the number 3 pick and giving up a pick and another pick. The Arizona Cardinals, everybody knows the Arizona Cardinals aren't taking a quarterback. And there's a lot of Kyler Murray hate out there. I'm not one of them. They're taking the best defensive player available. The Seattle Seahawks, I think, are going to take the best defensive player available. The Detroit Lions, I think, are probably going to take the best defensive player available. And then you get to the Las Vegas Raiders, and nobody ever knows what they're going to do. They do need help on both sides of the ball. It says in here that the Atlanta Falcons are going to take a corner. They have a lot of needs. And then at number 9 is the next one. It's local, Chicago Bears. They're taking Peter Skoronski from Northwestern. He's an offensive tackle. They have to protect Justin Fields. And all the things that they're doing in the offseason and what they will do in this draft, they have the most draft picks, I think, of almost anybody, is setting up their future for Justin Fields. Philadelphia Eagles need defense. It says right now they're going to be taking a local talent, Lucas Van Ness, from defensive end for Iowa. He fits right in their system. Tennessee Titans are taking a wide receiver, taking Jackson Smith from Ohio State. Houston Texans have another pick in here because of the Deshaun Watson trade, taking another defensive player. They're building up their defense. That's how they're going to build through the future. The New York Jets, they know they have to protect. They're hoping that they're protecting Aaron Rodgers. They're taking Paris Johnson from Ohio State. He's a monster of a man. Monster of a man. Then the New England Patriots are next. Tampa Bay is going to try to get Will Levis, depending on how you want to say it. Will Levis. I think that's a good idea. You know, and that's kind of the sticking point. The next the interesting one here, the Detroit Lions have another pick at 18. So the Detroit Lions up above, they took a defensive end. I think that's a good pick. This latest draft have them taking Bijan Robinson. And I know that the word out on the street is that running backs don't get picked in first rounds anymore, or they don't get picked in the middle of the first round. They get picked like Breece Hall did. You get picked at the bottom part. I don't think, I personally, except for now, Breece Hall has a reconstructed knee. If I was looking at these two gentlemen, Breece coming out last year, Bijan Robinson coming out this year, and I had to say, who was the better college running back and who's going to be the better professional running back? I would have taken Breece Hall, but Bijan Robinson is really, really good, and I do not mind. If you need a piece, and the Detroit Lions need one more piece on offense, they don't need a quarterback. Jared Goff did just fine. They are an up-and-coming team. That division, if you put your trust in the Minnesota Vikings, you haven't been around very long. The Green Bay Packers without Aaron Rodgers, that's with the Green Bay Packers, Aaron Rodgers gives you four wins that no other quarterback that's going to come to your team is going to give you. So if he gets you to 12, there's 18 games. He gets you to 12-6. If you have Justin Love, if I said that right, or whoever be your quarterback, you're gonna knock four wins off there. That takes you down to 8. That's 8-10. You have a lot of things you need. It's crazy. At number 22, the Baltimore Ravens are taking Quentin Johnson from TCU. I think he might be the best wide receiver in the draft. Catching the ball, big yards. And isn't that great that when you don't have Lamar Jackson, you finally draft a wide receiver that can actually do some good? The Minnesota Vikings do a really interesting thing in this draft. They take Hendon Hooker from the Tennessee. He has a ACL injury. He's going to be back. He's going to be fine. And I live a lot of my life not protecting Kirk Cousins, but just not liking the hate on Kirk Cousins. Do I think Kirk Cousins is a top 10 quarterback? I do not. Do I think he's a top 15 quarterback? I do. I think he's somewhere between 10 and 15. Can he win you football games? Yes. Does he lose you football games? No. But all those games in between, it's a 50-50 shot. And that gets you to a lot of 9-8s or 10-7s. Now, your division, Green Bay, not as good. Detroit, much better. Chicago, much better. That doesn't bode well. And I think Hendon Hooker, if he didn't have that, would have been the third quarterback off in this draft. The Jacksonville Jaguars are next. They need to put weapons around Trevor Lawrence. I think their offensive line is pretty good. Their defense is pretty good. They just need to keep. You've got 3 years, 2.5 more, 3 years to get everything out of him that you can until you have to pay him a lot of money and you can't put people around him. So if it's me, I'm trying to do that right now. Dallas Cowboys taking a tight end. I think that's a good thing. The Buffalo Bills looking for a wide receiver. I think they need that. I think that you can bully the Buffalo Bills wide receivers. And I think that they need, more help. The Cincinnati Bengals get a cornerback. The New Orleans Saints from a bunch of people. I don't care about the New Orleans Saints. Kansas City Chiefs look like they're going defense here. Probably need to go defense. Lost a couple of defensive linemen. They like to run a rotation. It's probably going to happen. They're going to get a wide receiver. They'll move up and get a wide receiver. The Kansas City Chiefs draft, if you were watching for somebody, if you ask people that watch draft, do drafts, and even people that draft, who the best person is to look to go see what people are doing, Brett Veach is that guy. That's why Kansas City's been where they've been in these last few years. You're listening to Steen on Sports, bringing sports your way every day right here on 101.3 FM, 1700 The Champ AM, Real Sports Talk for real sports fans. Got one more segment left. I really want to get into this Got Your Number from Mike Greenberg and Himbo. I love it. I've been going through it. I love to argue about it. I will be back. Last segment coming up.
101 Man Who Lives and Breathes Iowa Sports. Steen on Sports. 1700 The Champ. Real sports talk for real sports fans.
Welcome back in, everybody. Once again, it's Friday. Happy Friday. Be safe. Get home safe. Enjoy the weekend. Easter weekend has some meaning, folks. Think about it. You're listening to Steen on Sports. We're bringing sports your way every day right here on 101.3 FM, 1700 The Champ AM, Real Sports Talk for real sports fans. You can check us out on Twitter at 1700 The Champ, at Steen on Sports. Facebook's at 1700 The Champ, and website 1700thechamp.com. This last segment is being brought to you by Palmer Group, providing employment services since 1998. Finding a job has always been challenging, but in 2023, it is even more daunting. The numbers are high. Trying to find people is tough. All those things. Palmer Group was founded to change the dynamic and focus both on clients and candidates to make their lives better. The company's motto of getting candidates and companies on the same page to make things happen has never been more important or challenging. It's one of the things, help. You're trying to help the employers. You're trying to help these applicants, everybody. We need to get them in jobs. We need to get our job growth back. Palmer Group is there to help you. I usually say 500. I know there's more than that, but currently over 500 jobs are open on their website at thepalmergroup.com. Jobs in accounting and finance, admin and customer service, manufacturing, information technology, mortgage and banking. Keep both the staff and the candidates very busy. Check out the website and find out what Palmer Group can do for you. I want to thank Palmer Group, Heritage Building Maintenance, Des Moines Orthopedic Centers, Northwest Bank, and Woodman Controls. I cannot do this program. Scott and I cannot do Happy Hour Sports with Steen and Scott without these help of our sponsors. Gives us sanity. That is a good thing. Once again, the Masters is in a delay. We'll pick up at 8 o'clock Eastern time tomorrow morning, weather permitting, grounds being picked up, a lot of trees down, a lot of big trees down in the golf course, on the golf course. So that will be very interesting to see what they can get done. Right now, Brooks Koepka is leading the way. John Rahm right behind. Bennett, an amateur, is right behind. That is really cool. Biggest news in the state today, we kind of talked about it yesterday. Chris Murray telling Hawkeye Nation goodbye, love you, but it's time for me to jump to the NBA and be with my brother. And I think that's a great move on his part. I think it's a perfect time. Besides the first pick, there's room. There's a lot of room. And Chris Murray is a really good player, and you have a comp. Depending on what percentage you want to put that he's comparable to that comp, having a twin brother is not a bad thing. So, with that being said, congratulations to Chris Murray. I know that puts added pressure on the Iowa Hawkeyes. That's a lot of points. You take Rebecca, you take him, you take Connor. That's some points. They have a good draft class, recruiting class coming in. So I think they're going to be okay. We kind of maneuvered around a little bit yesterday. We kind of got to number 12. Number 12 is, I think number 12 might be the hardest number that I've seen so far, but it went to Tom Brady, as well it should. There's some outstanding quarterbacks that were that. Number 13 went to Dan Marino. I don't know that if you can fight that. Number 14 went to Pete Rose. No matter what you think of what Pete Rose did off the field, his demeanor, all of that, what he did on the field and led the Cincinnati Reds to championships hasn't been duplicated very often. Number 15 being Tim Tebow. I went back and tried to find a 15 that I could fight for. I don't know if I can. What he did in college football, it changed college football. But it's interesting, though. But I can't find something that I could go against that. Number 16 being Joe Montana, I don't think you can fight that. Number 17 being John Havlicek, I don't think you can fight that. I mean, Harold Carmichael, he's definitely not that. Number 18 I have a hard time with because I'm such a huge Peyton Manning fan. And I understand this to a certain extent that, especially for Mike Greenberg, he's a huge golf guy. Jack Nicklaus is one of the greatest athletes of all time, and you can't get him in there if you don't use a number. So they used his 18 majors that are probably never going to get touched. Number 19 is Johnny Unitas. I don't think I can fight with that. Number 20, Barry Sanders. I can't fight with that. Number 21 is Roberto Clemente. Enough said. I don't see that as well. Emmitt Smith at 22. I don't see that. Michael Jordan, and that's a no-brainer at 23. 24 is Willie Mays. There's been some good 24s, but probably not as good as Willie Mays. I do have to say, and this is for Bumpa NASCAR. Jeff Gordon and everything that he did for NASCAR would have to get some consideration. Joe Louis got number 25. That's debatable. I understand wanting to get Joe Louis on here. Boxing doesn't have numbers. He had 25 consecutive title defenses. My issue with Joe Louis is the title defenses aren't like what title defenses are nowadays. That's me being too young to understand. That would be one that I would say to Charlie Bickford, I would go, whatever you say, I'm believing in that. And I think that he would probably agree with Joe Louis. I don't know if he'd agree with Joe Louis being number 25, but I would agree that Joe Louis would have to be on this part. Number 26, they gave to a distant runner. I have no idea. So I wasn't even going to talk about it. Number 27. And they were very strong about number 27. And when you say something like this, you know how strong it is. What if I told you that the second coming of Mickey Mantle is alive and playing baseball even as we speak? I might also tell you that the sporting public has responded to this miracle with a collective yawn and have no idea. Number 27 to Mike Greenberg was Mike Trout. Mike Trout is an amazing baseball player, wired differently than a lot of people, built differently than a lot of people. His only struggle he's had is struggling with a organization that really didn't know how to put together a winning team. Here's the next one, and I don't have an issue with this one either because he needs to be on this list, but I don't know if I want him on this list as number 28, but I don't know who else I would put in there. 28 went to Michael Phelps. What Michael Phelps did for swimming, Katie Ledecky has done for swimming. No one else has done that for swimming. It's that cut and dried. Number 29, they gave to Eric Dickerson. If you hadn't seen Eric Dickerson run in high school, in college, and in the pros, you've missed out. Number 30, they have a Steph Curry. I have said all along, and sometimes my boys agree with me, sometimes they don't. Michael Jordan was a specimen. LeBron James is a specimen. Giannis is a specimen. Steph Curry's you and me. He's 6 foot nothing and a buck 65 or nothing. And he changed the game of basketball. And I'm not talking about changing the game of basketball in the NBA. I'm talking about changing the game of basketball. All these kids wanting to lower the hoop so they can dunk. And all these kids just doing all these things. And then they're watching Steph Curry dribble between his legs and around his back and back and forth and back and forth. And then yo-yo a shot in or make a great pass. And then shoot from half court and not look and do all that. And now that is what basketball is. You have to have that number for him. Number 31 is for Secretariat. I get it. She was amazing. I get it. I just don't like the whole number thing. Number 32, another tough number. A lot of great people. Marcus Allen. I mean, you could go on and on and on. They gave it to Jim Brown. I don't think that you can complain about Jim Brown. Number 33, they gave to Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. I have stated from the very beginning, I'm still a Michael Jordan for the NBA, LeBron right behind him, I get that. But when you take high school, college, and NBA, and you combine them, nobody ever had to go through what Kareem Abdul-Jabbar had to go through. They changed the game in high school so he couldn't dunk or block shots. They changed the game when he went to UCLA. You couldn't dunk the basketball and block shots like he did. And he had the most unstoppable shot ever, ever, ever in sports. And I'm going to end today on number 34. Very big tribute to Walter Payton. Walter Payton, the football player. Walter Payton, the man. End of story. Get ready for your weekend. Have a good time this weekend. Once again, it's Easter weekend. Get with your family. Have some good times with your family this week. You're listening to Steen on Sports. We're bringing sports your way every day right here on 101.3 FM, 1700 The Champ AM, Real Sports Talk for Real Sports fans. I will see you on Monday.